Welcome to this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Our hope and prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. In this episode of FEA Today, we want to continue our study of drifting. We looked last time at the detrimental and debilitating decision to drift. Many of the ministries and churches that once stood strong for the faith have drifted over the years, if they even continue to exist anymore. And the reason this drifting has happened in these ministries is because people tend to drift. They tend and have a tendency in the flesh to drift away, spiritually speaking, oftentimes from the truth of the Word of God. So last time, we began to consider the Hebrews text, Hebrews chapter 2, in the first three verses specifically, warning believers from this detrimental decision and tendency to drift spiritually, to drift away from proper fellowship with the Lord, to drift away from truth and doctrine that has been established for us by God in His Word. And we read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip," or we should drift. "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" We see a real warning here in God's Word concerning drifting. The Bible tells us in this text there's a moral imperative for every believer to make much of truth and comply with truth. No one is immune from the tendency to drift, which is why the author of Hebrews even uses the pronoun anytime we should let them slip. We ought to give the more earnest heed. Making much of the truth and complying with it requires intense attention. Give the more earnest heed, the author says. Be spiritually alert and extremely sensitive to the subject at hand. And of course, what we are not to drift from is clearly enunciated here, the truth, which entails the body of revealed doctrine given by Jesus Christ, that is, the Word of God. Very important that we understand this. We can abuse or drift away from the great salvation provided in Jesus Christ when we fail to grow spiritually, and we fail to grow by forsaking the Word of God, the Church of God, and failing to abide in Jesus Christ. That was the very problem the Hebrew Christians were facing in this context. The consequences of drifting and failing, lest at any time we should let them slip, that is, we should drift away. The author of Hebrews is saying, don't go back on the steps you've taken. The thrust of these three verses is this: pay more attention now than ever to the truth as given by God, because to fail to do this is to drift away, which in turn is to neglect so great salvation that we have in Christ. This is a very serious charge. When we were once focused on spiritual things, and when we were making the Lord and His body a priority in our life, and we're no longer doing that, we're drifting away and we're neglecting the very salvation that God has provided for us. So what I want to do today is really consider more of the mechanics of drifting and some biblical examples, some good examples and some bad examples in Scripture of those who drifted and those who failed to drift and were steadfast. The mechanics of drifting. To drift is the easiest thing to do, because all we have to do is nothing as far as our spiritual growth and our priorities are concerned. The picture here in Hebrews chapter 2 is of a boat without an anchor, really moving about just with the flow of the water, doing nothing, just floating. We drift when we focus on ourselves and we really just fulfill the desires of our own flesh and really take it easy in regard to spiritual things. So in other words, to focus on self and to do nothing will always result in drifting away, in neglecting the so great salvation that God has afforded us. We drift when we simply go with the flow of the stream of life and with the stream of culture and the stream of our own desires. You see, it takes no effort to drift. We simply allow ourselves to do what we want according to the flesh rather than what we know to be right. Interestingly enough, God's word provides us with many examples of those who were at one point truly focused on him, and yet these believers would drift away from proper fellowship with him. And these examples are put in scripture for our learning. There are good examples and bad examples. Let's consider some bad examples of drifting. I think in the Old Testament, we think back to Lot. Remember in Genesis, Lot chose to take the land that looked good to him, even though it was not spiritually beneficial. He pitched his tents toward Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities in the plains. As a result, what happened to Lot? He became comfortable with the world, really to the point of spiritual ruin. And we find God's estimation of this over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Lot, who was righteous in the eyes of God, his soul was vexed as he drifted away from that fellowship with God and began to be comfortable in the world. We think of Elijah in the Old Testament. Elijah, one of Israel's most notable and important prophets of God. Yet Elijah even was guilty of drifting away from a proper fellowship with the Lord. Remember when he got his focus off of God and he got his focus onto himself. When Jezebel was seeking to kill him and he runs into the wilderness and begins to feel sorry for himself, and God simply told him as he came to him in a still small voice, Elijah, get back to work. So for a period of time, Elijah, one of Israel's most notable prophets, was guilty of spiritually drifting. Of course, King David. David is known for the consequences of drifting away from the Lord when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, when he should have been waging war against the enemies of Israel, which is what God had commanded him. We see that in 2 Samuel chapter 11. David, a man after God's own heart, drifted spiritually at times in his life. And that is a great example that we need to understand. Solomon, King Solomon, David's son, although the wisest man who ever lived, was, if I can say, dumb enough to drift away from the Lord when he chose to go with the flow of the world and the culture and take wives and concubines in an effort to forge political alliances with the enemies of Israel. We find this in 1 Kings chapter 11. I believe this shows us that no matter how wise we may be, we can become guilty of this serious sin of drifting spiritually. We think in general of the children of Israel in the Old Testament. The entire Old Testament is a record of the drifting of God's people in general. So often they simply chose to go with the flow of the world around them, rather than fight the good fight of faith and obey the word of the Lord. They intermingled with the pagan culture, and they soon found themselves embracing it. And we have to understand that this can be a reality in our own lives as well. In Jeremiah chapter 3, God continually describes Israel and Judah as a backsliding nation. They drifted away from the Lord despite all he had done for them and all he was to them. You see, it always starts with a focus on self. And then by doing nothing, each person was soon far away from God. When they should have been working and laboring in their faith and their fellowship with God, they chose instead to take the easy path of following their own flesh and doing nothing. What's the anecdote for drifting? Notice those in Scripture who are not marked as drifters. They were always fighting the good fight even when they did not feel like it. We have Daniel. Remember in the Old Testament, from the beginning, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not succumb to the culture nor to the desires of the flesh, but that he would be faithful to God. We find no record in Scripture of Daniel drifting away from a proper fellowship with God. Of course, I'm sure at points throughout his life this was true, but we have no record of this in Scripture. On the contrary, Daniel continually chose to make his relationship with God the priority of his life, even when it meant he would face the physical consequences of faithfulness to God. So we have Daniel in the Old Testament and another incredible example in the New Testament of one by the name of Paul, the Apostle Paul. I mean, he faced more trials in his life than anything we can or will ever face. And yet he was one who came to the end of his life and declared that he was ready to meet his Savior because Jesus Christ was everything in his life. I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning of verse 6, at the end of his life, Paul says, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." The Apostle Paul was never ashamed of God's message or what it stood for. We find this in Romans chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 1. He was never fearful of what the world thought of him. He understood that the world would increase in wickedness and increase in ungodliness. And yet in 2 Timothy, he still exhorted Timothy to preach the word despite what the world would think. Paul made it very clear to Timothy and very clear to us that we are to endure hardness. It's not going to be easy. As time goes on and as the world grows more wicked, it's not going to be easy. But don't fear what the world thinks of you. Stay close to the Lord and have him be the foremost in your mind concerning he is who the one that we want to please. Paul never let the world dictate his standards for service. He refused to do that. Pragmatism was never an option for Paul. He never tolerated error or complacency or indifference. So this text in 2 Timothy, when Paul comes to the end of his life and he records these words, this tells us some key things about Paul. First, he had a love and concern for others until the end of his life. The entire second letter to Timothy spells out Paul's loving charge to Timothy and to us. He had a clear conscience at the end of his life. He could stand before God knowing that he was in fellowship with God, not only saved, but in fellowship with God. He could stand before God knowing he put God first in his life. He could stand before God knowing that he did all he could do. And Paul had a well-defined mission throughout his life. We have the fight, embracing and defending the truth. We have the course before him. That's an intended path laid out by God. And we have the faith, a body of truth to be believed. Stop drifting if you are drifting. If you are enjoying close fellowship with Christ right now and spiritual things are a priority in your life, then don't start to drift away. It's so easy to do. And we see this all around us in the church today. This is why the New Testament writers always use the language of labor and toil and warfare and perseverance when referring to the Christian life. Slacking off never leads anywhere good. The Bible makes it very clear that it will be possible for us as believers to be ashamed before him at his appearing. That's not referring to salvation, but to Christian living right now. Life is more than just about I'm saved and going to heaven. It's about your life right now. Abiding in Christ. And we need to understand this is a personal decision. We can choose to do nothing and drift, or we can choose to remain faithful in this difficult world in which we live and make the things of the Lord and our relationship and fellowship with him the priority of our life. This is what we desire. Stay strong. Don't drift. I thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today, and may the Lord bless you.